Nej.
Och så namn är.
Vad?
Och så namn är.
I hear that. Okay. Okay, so let's begin. We've been learning Chulin and been on the sugya from Vav to Zayin Amid Beis, and that's an opportunity to discuss some in Yanei Zraim. Whoever is tuning in from some of the other shiurim, I don't know whether they were learning this part of Chulin or not, but either way, very interesting sugyas. And among other things, the Gemara here on Dav Zayin Amid Aleph, the background is that the Gemara on Dav Vav Amid Beis, talking about the problem of Behemtan Shel Tzadikim Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Al Yadam Kol Shekein the Tzadikim themselves. So the Gemara tells a story that Heid Rabbi Yeshua Ben Zaruz Ben Chamiv Shel Rabbi Meir Lifnei Rabbi Al Rabbi Meir Sheachal Ola Shel Yerek Bebeit Shan, that they reported, then, sometimes it's true even now, like people, look at what Talmidei Chachamim do, it's a primer, can be instructive. So he noticed that Rabbi Meir ate Ola Shel Yerek, a vegetable from Beit Shan, without being mafresh trumos and maestros. And that led to a whole discussion. So the Gemara on Zayin Amud Aleph, discussing that, goes into a question of Kedusha Sa'aretz Bizman Azeh. And I want to talk about that briefly. Again, it's a massive, massive topic with so many interesting and good things to say. We have to do this in less than an hour. And we need to get Azriel back with his guitar. So we're just going to zero in on one or two Ha'aros. But of course, it's something that should be expanded upon. So the Gemara here in Zayin Amud Aleph, discussing this, says the following: Umi Ika Lamanda Amar. Is there really somebody who says that Beit Sham Lav Me Eretz Yisrael? Who, if he was eating a yerek, a vegetable from Beit Shan, without being mafresh Trumas Maisros, then the implication is that Beit Shan doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say V'lo Horish Menashe as Beit Shan V'Espinosel as Tanach Espinosel? So it sounds like Beit Shan was an integral part of Eretz Yisrael, and if it really was an integral part of Eretz Yisrael, then in what sense, is it treated differently with regard to Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros? After all, we're talking about Tevel. Even though Maestro Yerek, I should add, is only Durabanan, but still it's a significant Durabanan, and you should require Hafrasha. So the Gemara says, this is not such a strong question, because Ishtamitate Honda Amarab Shimon ben Eliakim Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas. She'amar, Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, that harbe krochim kivshum ole Mitzrayim, there were many cities that were conquered in the time of Yoshua, in the era of ole Mitzrayim, the people who ascended from Mitzrayim, right, to enter into Eretz Yisrael, right, velo kivshum ole Babel. However, in the time of Ezra, when Kedusha Sa'aretz was reinstituted, and when Eretz Yisrael was reinvested with Kedusha Sa'aretz, there were many of those cities that were included in the original kibush that were not included in the second. The Kasavar, and this Manda Amar, is of the opinion that Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita Velo Kitcha La'asid Lava, that Kedusha Rishona was only in place as long as Klal Yisrael had sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. And once they were, tragically, there was a Churban, and they were, thrown out of their control and their sovereignty. So that Kedusha was Betela. And therefore, when the Kedushas Ezra took place many years later, right, they had to redraw, essentially, the Kedushas, we'll talk about this a little bit, the Kedushas Haaretz boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And it no longer included, that's the suggestion, Beit Shan. And that was maybe even intentional, because V'inichum Kedesh Yismachu Aleim Aniyim B'Shvias. That this is a fascinating Gemara. They intentionally omitted some of the areas in terms of the Kedusha Shnia of Ezra, so that the Aniyim, right, during the Shemitah year, right, would have a place to legitimately, you know, be able to use as a source of sustenance. So they kind of sacrificed a goal. It's a fascinating thing. They sacrificed an aspect of a Kedushas Haaretz, right, for the financial well-being of the Aniyim. That's what the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. That's the Shakavataria here. So this Gemara, of course, introduces us to two things. Number one, a little bit of history, and the idea that there were different phases of Kedushas Haaretz. That the initial phase was, of course, initiated by Yehoshua, Kibush Yehoshua. But that there's a debate, and that we, at least this Gemara thinks, that Kedusha Rishona, Kidshel Shaita, Velo Kidshel Yasid Lavo, that Kedusha, based on Kibush, did not last, did not endure beyond the first Korban. However, Kedusha Shnia, which was much more limited in its geography, right, that is something which apparently is relevant to the Gemara's discussion on Vav Med Beis with Beit Shan. And the second Chiddush being that there was a conscious decision in some cases, not in all cases, right, to geographically limit Kedushas Haaretz the second time, Kedei Sheyismachu Aniyim B'Shvias. Certainly a fascinating policy decision. Rashi Al-Attar makes the comment that if the Rashi here de Ramasel Krochim Kivshum Ole Mitzrayim, Rashi explains, the Kidshum B'Kedushas Haaretz, Velo Kivshum Ole Bavel, Lekadshum Bishnia. They didn't invest Kedusha the second time around in all these places. Lekach Lo Kivshua, the reason, the Kasavri Hol V'Hutru, Hutru, the Kedusha Rishona B'Tela, the first Kedusha was Batel, and therefore they didn't feel per se obligated to sustain Kedusha Sa'aretz in all these places because it was really Batel. Once they were again tragically exiled in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, that canceled the first Kedusha. And therefore, objectively, there is no Kedusha on this Karka. Although, you know, to use the Rav's, Zatzal's felicitous phrase, there continued to be a shame Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully we'll get to talk about this later, if not another time. Meaning, even if there wasn't Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, there still was some sort of status of Eretz Yisrael in all of the places that Yehoshua conquered with regard to certain other dinim, Smicha, Egla Rufa, probably Kiddush HaKodesh, Nevuah, a bunch of things. That's for another topic. Meaning, you shouldn't get the impression, something which actually sounds like in the Rambam and Hilchos Beis HaBechira, which we'll get to in just a moment, it sounds like that once the Kedusha Rishona of Yehoshua was terminated, that it was, you know, Ke'ilu, what was left was like Chutz La'aretz. That's what sounds like in the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. It doesn't sound like in the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos. It sounds that a little bit like in the Tosas Rid in Gittin on Mem Zayin Omid Aleph, a Gemara that we'll get to in just a minute. But for most Rishonim and most evidence, it doesn't seem to be correct. So it seems like even after Bitol Kedusha Rishona, there still remained or retained the status of Eretz Yisrael, what the Rav used to call Shem Eretz Yisrael, what Ramban in the beginning of Masechet Gittin and the Ritva in the beginning of Gittin called Chibas Eretz Yisrael. There are still certain dinim of Eretz Yisrael that depend on its, you know, larger Mokom status, and that continued to persist. But when it came to Kedushas Karka, the soil, and the dinim of Tvuas Eretz Yisrael, and so on, Rashi is saying something very important here. Rashi is saying, like, why or how would they choose, you know, even if it's a very noble, you know, cause, you know, a very philanthropic, you know, cause, you know, Kedei Sheyismchu Aniyim B'Shviyas, but it seems like the price, you know, is too high. I mean, obviously, investing Kedushas Haaretz in the Karka, you know, and allowing for the, in two levels, as we'll see hopefully in the Shir part, which we're starting, both in terms of, you know, the opportunity of Mitzvah Satlius Baaretz, as well as just the concept that maybe there's a separate, you know, significance to there being Kedushas Karka, even separate from the actual performance of the mitzvahs, something which we'll argue based on what we're going to say a little bit down the road. So I think what Rashi's addressing here is that, you know, why would they, how do you explain this policy, even if it's motivated by the philanthropy to the Aniyim, you know, in the end of the day, right, this geography is designated for Kedushas Karka, both befoal the performance of these mitzvos, as well as, you know, abstractly, you know, the fact that maybe that there's some value to Kedushas Karka. So what he says is that that's what these lines mean. The lo, they didn't have to lekach lo kivshua de kasavri hol v'hutru hutru. That hol v'hutru hutru, meaning legabe kedushas haaretz, these were sufficiently, these lands neutralized so that these other policy considerations would come to play. I still think that the policy considerations are extraordinary. I hope to get back to that. But in the end of the day, at least they're possible. Had it been, let's say, dechuya, you know, but not hutra, then there would be nothing to talk about. That's what Rashi's saying. Otherwise, there's need to address that whole question. Okay. Kedei she'imuter lachrosh v'lezroa sham b'shvias, she'eino heges b'chutzlarz, v'yismuchu aliyam aniyim, lito leket shecho peyo meiser oni, u'beit shan mehen oisa. And then Rashi adds, v'oson shekidshu, hein, these second, it doesn't say this in the Gemara, but Rashi thinks it's implicit, and that is that this, you know, the boundaries of Ezra that were invested, once again, with Kedushas Karka, right? Osan Shekitchu Hain Lo Bitlu B'Chorban Sheni. They were not nullified, you know, by the what took place, the second Chorban, right? K'namrina B'Yivamos V'Ba'arel V'Heviyacha Hashem Elokecha La'aretz Asher Yarsha V'Osecha V'Yirishta Yerusha Rishona U'Shnia Yesh Lahem Shabatla, Yerusha Rishona, the Nikra Shnia Yerusha, of the Yerusha Shlishis, Emlehem, Shashnia Lo Paska, Hilkach Bimei Rebbe, Nagu, Iser Baaretz. Rashi's trying to explain why, in the name of the Gemara, which was, you know, after, right, the second Chorban, so why. You know, why are they invoking the Kedusha, you know, of Ezra? So Rashi says what's implicit in this Gemara is that Kedusha Rishona Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha L'Yasid Lavo, and that Kedusha Shnia Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Yasid Lavo. And why is that? Doesn't explain so much, but V'Yavyacha Hashem Elokecha El Haaretz Asher Yarsha V'Osecha V'Yirishta. It's hinted at in the psukim. So we're left with the following interesting question, and that is, I should add that there's a debate, that the Gemara elsewhere records the debate and says that no, maybe even Yerusha Shnia was Betela, even Yerusha Shnia was Kitchel Shaita v'lo Kitchel Yosid Lavo. But Rashi, to explain this Gemara at least, thinks that Yerusha Shnia was outlived, meaning endured past its Chorban, whereas Kedusha Rishona did not. Rashi doesn't tell us why that is. He only brings the evidence that it is. So two things I want to address in this Gemara, and then I want to, you know, just one, the two things I'm pointing out, and then I want to take a step back away from this Gemara. I hope at another point to come back to this Gemara, but and talk more broadly about this topic. One is the idea of Kedei Sheyismchu Aniyim B'Shvius, and that policy decision. Again, if you think that Kedusha Sa'aretz and Mitzvah Sa'tlius Ba'aretz are just kind of a technicality, you know, they're a chiyuv, but we don't place any great urgency or more transcendental significance to them, then, you know, this is not such a difficult thing to explain. But you could see that Rashi was a little bit struggling with it, and that's where he said hutra hutra. But if there is evidence that Kedushas Haaretz, Kedushas Karka, Eretz Yisrael, both the opportunity for Mitzvah Atluyos, as well as you know, the status itself is significant, so then the policy decision of Kedei Sheyismchu Aniyim B'Shvius looms much larger. And the question is, do we see that as a external or as an internal factor? You know, is this like an internal triage or an external triage, meaning a clash between two principles that have nothing to do with each other? Or is it, you know, trying to figure out the best way to apply, you know, roughly speaking, obviously, the same principle? Okay. Everybody who, you know, knows me a little bit, you know, already knows that I'm going to go for number two. I admit that. But, right. I want to present, you know, a basis for thinking, you know, that this is number two. And I also want to be intellectually honest. And I do think that others hold this way, which means it's certainly part of the Elu Ve'elu, to, you know, at least register that in theory, this could be a, you know, kind of a clash between tzedakah and the transcendence of Kedusha Sa'aras. But again, you know me too well to know that I am, you know, more likely to be drawn, you know, to the internal view, but hopefully, again, not because of some, you know, arbitrary or improper inclination or predilection, hopefully because, you know, it's informed by, you know, more consistent and better understanding, more idealistic understanding of these makoros. So we'll get back to that. The second issue, is just to wonder a little bit why it is that Kedusha Rishona was betela, lo kitchel yasid lavo, that it didn't outlive its kibush and control, whereas Kedusha Shnia, according to this Gemara and other Gemaras, was more enduring. Why is that? And it's actually ironic because, again, you know, the first and the more dramatic, maybe that's part of the answer, okay, is the kibush of Yehoshua, right? Ezra, you know, was much quieter and much, you know, less obvious that that even had the capacity to trigger a kedushas, a karka of Eretz Yisrael. Yet, ironically, it seems like Kedusha Shnia is the one that is lasting. And the question is, why is that? There's a lot of different comments of the Rishonim and the Achronim, you know, that try to contend with this issue. It's interesting that in our Gemara, the Gemara uses the language of kibush in both. Right? The Gemara says, Harbe krochim kivshum ole Mitzrayim, velo kivshum ole Babel. And Rashi repeats, you know, the language of the Gemara. It sounds like you had a kibush here, a kibush there, but this one lasted, you know, and that one didn't. However, very famously, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, just one second. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it's interesting to note in Perek Vav, famous Rambam, Rambam explains here very famously that Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas HaMikdash do not have the same status as Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Very, very famous Rambam. The Rambam says, the Rambam says in the end of Halacha Yudalid, in Perek Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Umimash and Iskadsha Bikdusha Rishona, referring to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, Shekidsha Shlomo, right? Shehu Kide Shoazar of Yerushalayim, Lishaita, Bikide Shason LaAsid Lavo. That the Kedusha of the Mikdash and of Yerushalayim, which in general for the Rambam is one, the Rambam famously in Pirshei Mishnayos, in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah, thinks that the word Mikdash, in reference to Tilas Lulav and Tekiya B'Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah, unlike Rashi, who thinks that Mikdash means Mikdash, Ram thinks that Mikdash means Yerushalayim and a Mikdash. That's Lishitaso and a whole bunch of things, including the fact that the Rambam here says that the Kedushas HaMikdash and Yerushalayim are unique, and that they are kitchel shaito, the kitchel liyasid lava. Ram says lefikach makrivin a karbanos kulon afapishen shambayis banui. Therefore, even when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer built, as sadly it is no longer built in our time, nonetheless, the mokam haMikdash has kedusha. Ochlin kachay kadoshim b'chol azara afapishen chareva. In a mukafis b'mechitza, ochin kachim kalim, ma'isu sheni b'chol Yerushalayim, alfa b'shein shem choma, shekdusha rishona kitchel shaita v'kitchel yasid lava. And then in Halakat HaZayin, the Rambam says, v'lama ani omer b'mikdash v'Yerushalayim, shekdusha rishona kdushas yasid lava, v'mikdushas shar eretz Yisrael le'inyan shviyas u'maisros, v'kayotza b'hem lo kitchel yasid lava? Lefi, shekdushas ha'mikdash v'Yerushalayim mipnei hashchina, this is the original formulation of the Rambam, meaning it's his personal understanding, and very famous, that Kedushas Mikdash in Yerushalayim is Kedushas HaShechina, Rishchina Eina Betela, beautiful language, by your Omer V'Hashimosi as Mikdashechem, Amru Chachamim Afabi Sheshmumin, Mikdushas HaNein Omdim, Avochi V'Aretz B'Shviyas U'B'Maisros, Eina Elam Epneishu Kibush Rabin, that depends on not Kedushas HaShechina, but Kibush Rabin. The Kivan Shenilkacha Haaretz Miyadeyem, Batala Kibush, Beniftara Minatora, Minamaisros, Uminashvias. Kibush created it, and Churban ended Kibush. Shaharei, Eina Eretz Yisrael. This is the line that I referred to earlier when I said that the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, not Hilchos Trumos, and I don't think it's consistent with his views, actually. Makes a stronger, I think it's partially because he wants to make the contrast between Kedushas Shechina and Kedushas Kibush. He's saying you can really neutralize Kedushas Kibush. So I think he only means it legabe Kibush, but he just, you know, in order to do that, he uses a language which is a little misleading. Again, Tosis Rid uses this language, maybe means it in Gittin. Shahare Eina Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but he certainly doesn't mean it with regard to other dinim, smicha, kiddush chodesh, egla rufa, par halam davar shel tzibur, there clear evidence that the Rambam holds that aratzos shekibesh Yehoshua, even shelo nisyashvu aidei Ezra, still have the status of Eretz Yisrael with regard to many dinim. But here he means legabe trumos and meisers and shvias. V'kiven she'ala azra v'kidsha, lo kidsha v'kibush ala b'chazaka. Ah! This is another big chiddush of the Rambam. Now he's trying to explain why it is that Kedusha Shnia, as opposed to Kedusha Rishona, outlived the kibush. And even though our Gemara in Chulin and elsewhere speaks about Ayoros or Krachim, Shekivshu Yoshua velo kivshu Ezra, the Rambam, in order to resolve that question, right, it takes a fascinating stand and says that the what Ezra did was chazaka, shechzikuba. Ulefikach komokram shechzikuba olebavel v'niskadish b'kedushas Ezra hashnia hareu makudash hayom afa bishenil k'chaharetz mimenu v'chayi b'shviyus v'maisrus al derech shebiyarno b'chustruma. We'll get back to chustruma in just a few minutes. But what the Rambam here is trying to tell us, seemingly, is not only the fact, excuse me, that Ezra wasn't involved in kibush. Ezra didn't have an army, right? Ezra resettled the land. But it sounds like the Rambam is trying to tell us more than that. It sounds like that he's trying to tell us that the reason for the discrepancy between the permanence of Kedusha Shnia and the impermanence, right, the contingency of Kedusha Rishona, is the discrepancy between Kibush and Chazak. And that's surely very significant and superficially completely counterintuitive. Right? Why should Chazakah be stronger than Kibush? And why should the more limited settlement of Ezra, part of which was Kadeshi Yismuchu Aniyim B'Shvius, for sure, but also other parts, simply because they didn't have the ability, you know, to settle on that part. So why should that be actually more rather than less effective? Very strange. The Rav once suggested that the reason that Kedusha Shnia is more effective than Kedusha Rishona is because already there was Kedusha Yerushalayim. And the link between Kedusha Yerushalayim and Kedusha Shnia, you know, had the effect of, you know, a more enduring Kedusha, you know, is like hyphenated or connected, you know, to the Kedusha Sashchina. So I think that's a very intriguing idea. Doesn't really sound that way in the Rambam. Other times the Rav suggested that no, what the Rambam really means is that somehow Chazakah is superior to Kibush with respect to its ability to withstand, you know, the onslaught, if you will, of Kibush. And that too could be understood, I think, in two ways. One is in a more technical way, and that is, if Yehoshua, you know, invested Kedushas Haaretz through Kibush, then another Kibush can wipe out Kibush. But maybe the point isn't that Chazakah is superior to Kibush in the duration of the Kedusha or in the permanence of the Kedusha that it initiates or engenders. Maybe the idea is that it's simply immune to political or military neutralization. That's Kibush undoes or neutralizes Kibush. But Kibush doesn't necessarily undo Chazakah. And that's how some of the Achronim explain this puzzle, this enigma. The Kesef Mishnah, interestingly, has a slightly different perspective. Kesef Mishnah is bothered by this. He says, Vim Tomar, you know, just be, even if the Rambam's right, they certainly write, you know, historically. If legally, you know, the differences between Chazakah and Kibush, so again, why does that make Chazakah more permanent? That seems counterintuitive or at least puzzling, enigmatic. The Kesef Mishnah says, well, the difference is that originally all there was Kibush, and Kibush undid Kibush. But now, in addition to the Kibush of Yehoshua, you also have the Chazakah of Ezra. So the combination of Yehoshua's Kibush and Ezra's Chazakah, that's what creates the enduring Kedusha Shnia. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. Of course, it's based on a fascinating assumption, and that is that even though Kedusha Rishona was Betela, let's say contrasted to, I'm not sure that Rashi argues, but it's at least he may argue, sounds like he would argue, remember that Rashi was troubled, you know, with the policy decision, so there are some parts that you're intentionally going to leave without, you know, Kedushas Karka. So Rashi says, well, hovahutra, hutra. That doesn't necessarily preclude what the Kesef Mishnah is saying, but it certainly makes it less likely or more intriguing. Namely, one could have said, excuse me, one should have said, or one should have thought, that the question of Kedusha Shnia as opposed to Kedusha Rishona is something that stands on its own. Certainly that's the assumption of the question. The idea that you could tag team, you know, that you could integrate or combine, you know, Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia, even after Kedusha Rishona was Betela, but that there's still a remnant of it that it can connect up, you know, with Chazaka, and the combination of Kibush and Chazaka would be stronger than either one separately and have the effect of a permanent Kedusha, which is the idea of the Kesef Mishnah, that is not obvious at all. Okay, but it is, I think, very important. It highlights probably also the fact, Rambam's formulation in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that they're no longer part of Eretz Yisrael, Inyan, Shemitah, and Truma, etc., needs to be assessed, again, in qualified manner. Because according to the Kesef Mishnah's reading, it sounds like either never really completely went away, right? Although it was insufficient to generate chiyuv, right? Or that it was reignited. I mean, I guess, and technically you could say that, you know, there was a period where this was no better than Chutz Laretz, but the latent potential, obviously, you're not saying Kivcha Hutra Hutra vis-a-vis reconnecting, that's for sure. So maybe with the Chazaka, you brought it back, or it never really went away completely. That's when I'm talking about comparing or analyzing the Kesef Mishnah in light of Rashi or in light of the language of the Rambam, these are some of the things you might need to say. But either way, it's, I think, a Musar Haskel, meaning even when the effect of the Kedusha, and even if it's a dramatic effect, you know, that it is neutral, it is, you know, dampened or diminished, or maybe even temporarily gone, right? The ability to rehabilitate it is a tremendous Musar Haskel about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Its resilience, you know, it's like impending or waiting in the wings, you know, to be brought back. And that is something, again, hashkafically and halachically, that is very significant. However, what I'd like to suggest is a different approach. And I think the Rav says this as well. In addition to the point about the kibush and the chazaka and their vulnerability, and that is another emphasis. And that is that even though it is counterintuitive, even though kibush appears to be a much more certainly dramatic, forceful way of initiating Kedushas Haaretz, and even though the kibush of Yehoshua geographically was far more expansive than Ezra, you know, both in terms of the realities of the time and what was possible, as well as the Kedeshius Mechuanim, you know, actual policy parts of it, then in the end of the day, there is still something about Chazaka which makes it, even as a standalone, more enduring. And not simply, but also because of the Ha'ara, you know, that Kibush cancels Kibush, but Kibush doesn't necessarily cancel Chazaka. And that is that Chazaka has the connotation of Mesiras Nefesh and the ongoing, in other words, the day in, day out, consistent, you know, involvement with Eretz Yisrael. It's one thing, you know, to battle for it. And again, yesterday was Yom HaZikaron, you know, the sacrifices, the necessity of kibush and milchama, and the sacrifices that take place, sadly, in that context, are a davar shebikdusha. And, you know, there's no measure of the hakaras hatov, and therefore the sense of pain and identification and appreciation for people who gave up their lives, you know, for Kibbutz Eretz Yisrael, whether it be in the time of Yehoshua or in modern history of Kal Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael. We know too many, you know, Karbanos. Having said that, Kibbutz is a charismatic and a one-time manifestation. And the ability, you know, to sustain a connection with the land through hardship, through commitment, through all the perils, you know, and all the difficulties, military, political, economic, you know, in day in, day out, in a sustained way, which is what Ezra was all about. There was no kibbutz. In some respect, things were much more, much less heady, and they required a greater ongoing, intense commitment. So maybe for that reason, not just technically, you know, kibbutz wipes out kibbutz doesn't wipe out chazaka, but just on the other level, you know, chazaka in a certain respect is even more formidable in terms of the, let's say, input of Klal Yisrael and the concept of Mesiras Nefesh and the idea of Yom Yom living in Eretz Yisrael than kibbutz is. And for that reason, it can't be neutralized by a Churban. And the combination of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Hashgacha is an unbeatable one, and one which is fundamentally enduring. So that might be another reason, you know, to explain the Shita. And then I would just like to take it a step further in case I don't get a chance to get back to it later. And that the idea of that I alluded to before, you know, that Kadesh Yismachu, you know, Aniyim Bishvias, and I raised the question, is this a, you know, a clash of priorities or a triage question of two independent ideas? Or is this something, you know, that is also internal? So in light of this idea of Chazaka in particular, and Ezra, if the Kedusha of Ezra was going to be founded on a different principle, not kibbutz, but chazaka. So the idea that Klal Yisrael and, you know, the well-being of Klal Yisrael and the special lifestyle and orientation of Klal Yisrael as a B'nei Avraham Avinu, you know, as the Rambam formulates it in the beginning of Perek Yud Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, that, you know, a person who's an achzari is probably not really a zera Avraham Avinu, and that tzedakah is part of the DNA, let's say, of the Jewish people. But it's more than that. The point is that if you want to build Kedusha on the basis of chazaka, then the persistence and the Mesiras Nefesh, you know, the ongoing threat and hardships, you know, etc., of Klal Yisrael, then maybe one of the internal considerations has to be the capacity of all Klal Yisrael, right, to live, you know, in a dignified manner. And therefore, Kadesh Yismachu Aniyim B'Shvias is consistent, A, with Shvias in a bigger way, have Shemitah, but also have mechanisms that allow Aniyim to get through Shemitah, and it's consistent with Kedushas Ha'aretz, and especially the Kedushas Ha'aretz of Ezra. That's really what I have in mind, and I want to reinforce that by the rest of what I want to talk about in just a minute. So, having said that, we can also go back to the Kesef Mishnah and appreciate the combination. Meaning, was the idea, you know, in the Kesef Mishnah, probably the idea was that, you know, if you put the two together, you know, they're stronger than either one. I accept that. But I also think that the more we look at Chazaka, you know, in a different way, and Kibbutz in a different way, that combination also provides more substance to Kedushas Ha'aretz. Meaning the combination of, you know, rising to an occasion, you know, and being able to make ultimate sacrifices of Mesiras Nefesh, together with the Chazaka day in, day out, that combination is a powerful one. It's, you know, I've said it in the past, it's, you know, The Rambam in Perek Hei, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, talks about Kiddush Hashem. He begins with the Gibel Averos, and he ends that Perek by quoting the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, Shehei Shem Shamayim, Mis'ahe Val Yodecha. Right, he speaks about Kol Beis Yisrael, that's a language, Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem. And then in the end, the last, that's where he talks about Yorig Vayavar. And then the last halacha, when he speaks about, and he quotes the Gemara in Yoma, he speaks mostly about Tamidei Chachamim. He says, you know, Tamidei Chachamim have to take the lead on Shehei Shem Shemayim Messiah V'Yadecha. They have to speak nicely. They have to pay their bills on time. You know, they have to conduct themselves in a manner that reflects, you know, the principle of Kiddush Hashem. So I was always very struck by that Rambam, because instinctively you would expect the opposite, right? You would think that Kol Beis, at the beginning, the Yehari Val Yavar, how many people can really, even if they're obligated to, you know, how many people can really muster the courage, you know, the conviction even more, you know, to actually give up their lives, you know, Al Kiddush Hashem. On the other hand, can't every Jew conduct himself in a fashion that, you know, is Shehei Shem Shemayim Messiah Val Yadecha? One would think that the answer is yes. But in the end of the day, you know, the Rambam's formulation is wise and profound, because the truth is that, and again, this is not, I'm not saying this chalila to diminish it. As I say, you know, the sacrifices of every Jew for the sake of Klal Yisrael, the ultimate sacrifice is a davar shebikdusha. That's why no matter what their behaviors, we call them kedoshim. But the truth is that everybody, you know, can have a moment of clarity, you know, where they're able to rise to the occasion, you know, muster sufficient conviction and be moser nefesh. But it actually is much more difficult, you know, to meet him kesidron day in, day out, you know, to behave, you know, in a fashion, you know, that is, you know, sometimes, you know, out of step with the local culture, the prevailing culture, challenges your ego and challenges your one part of your humanity, not the humanity of your humanity, but the, you know, the selfishness part of the ego part of your humanity. The ability to do that every day, you know, requires a lot of conviction and consistency. So maybe the combination of kibush and chazaka is precisely that. And maybe that's what that's another way to understand the Kesef Mishnah. You know, the sacrifices of kibush, you know, are, even if it's in the interim, Eino Eretz Yisrael, Inyan, Kedushas Karka, you know, but those are never forgot. The truth is that Reb Chaim says, not this exactly, Reb Chaim was bothered by the following question. You see this in the stencils in the Chiddush Agrach in Gittin Dav Zayin. The Gemara there discusses whether Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush or Lo Shmei Kibush. And the Mefarshim all point out, or many of them point out, that it's a little bit strange, because the Makoros of Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush Lo Shmei Kibush, some of them, most of them go back to, they talk about Surya, right? They go back to the original Kibush of Yehoshua. But a lot of the discussions in the Gemara are about post-Ezra phenomena, right? So the kibush of Yeshua is long gone, you know, if you hold kiddush b'shona kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel yasid lavo, right? So why are we discussing the status of kibush yachid based on, you know, in a post-Ezra time, based on what happened in the time of Yehoshua? So Reb Chaim Kedarko reassesses these relationships, and based on the pasuk Ve'tivcha V'hirbacha Me'avosecha, points out that even if Kedusha Shnia is independent of Kedusha Rishona and is more enduring, And even if Kedusha Rishon, in other words, is Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Yasid Lavo, there's still a din in Ve'itivcha V'hir Becha Me'avosecha. Meaning, the Kedusha of Ezra is not in a vacuum. Even if you say, I would add, based on what we're talking about today, even if you say Kivin Shehutra Hutra, right? And even, you know, if you use the stronger language of the Rambam, Eina Ke'eretz Yisrael. In the end of the day, what happened is never relegated. You know, in history of Klal Yisrael, nothing is gone. You know, it's all relevant history. It's all part of the present. They tivcha v'hir b'chskas is the status of kibush yachid, right? And they cite or they discuss its impact in the time of Yehoshua and the status of Surya, for example, right? Even if Surya was resettled by Ezra, it could never be more than what it was in the time of Yehoshua. They tivcha v'hir b'cham yavosecha. You can build on that, but you can't ignore it. The past history of the Jewish people and the sacrifices that were made and the charismatic kibush that took place remains relevant, even if the Kedusha is betela. That's a powerful idea. Now, when you put that together with the Kesef Mishnah, you could say, you know, it's not just, you know, two are better than one, right? It's that the combination of kibush and chazaka, and especially what each brings to the table that is so different in Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, halachically and hashkafically, that combination is unbeatable. So I don't have so much time left, and we just have to get back to Azriel. I was going to go into a whole discussion of, you know, Rashi and the Rambam about Kedusha Shniyah and Kedusha Bezman Hazeh and the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Gittin and all the Korah. So we'll have to leave that Ot Chazon Lamoed by about one away from what we can do without those Gemaras, which I don't have time for. What is the Rambam's view? We'll just leave it with the Rambam, even though the others highlight much more. What is the Rambam's view of Kedusha Sa'aretz Bizman Hazeh? This is an issue that comes up every Shemitah, but of course it's relevant more generally. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that I just read before, Perek Vav, so it's clear that the Rambam unequivocally, right, paskins that Kedusha Rishona Kidsha L'Shaita V'Lo Kidsha L'Yasid Lavo, Kedusha Sirushalayim V'Mikdash are Kedusha Sashchina Sheme'olam Einem B'Telim. But he also says that Kedusha Shnia, because it was all Yidei Chazaka, that's what we've just been discussing, right? And I was trying to connect that with other things, that Kedusha Shnia is Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Yasid Lavo. So if you walk away from Hilch, if you close your Sefer Avodah, the Rambam, and I ask you, I quiz you, what's the Rambam's view about Trumas Maestros, you know, Chala, Shmita, Bikurim, Bizman Hazeh? The correct impression that you would have is that Minat Torah, all these things are binding. Correct? If you look in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, which is another good place to look, this is reinforced. Ram, I'm just going to take another few minutes, and then we have Azriel waiting in the background. Okay. Azriel's a professional, so you know he can listen to the shiur and concentrate. The fact that I told him he's coming up soon, it doesn't disturb him. He's a pro. Anyways, he also knows that Moshe's going to be there to help him. All right. The Rambam Minchas Trumos Perek Aleph says the following. Ha'aratzos, I'm sorry, one second. This is a Perek Aleph Halacha Hei. Kol Shech Ziku Ole Mitzrayim. Finis Kaddish Kedusha Rishona, Kivin Shagalu, Batla Kedushasa. Shekedusha Rishona Lefisha Hosam Mipne Kibush Bilvad, Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Yasid Lavo. Working off of what he said in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, The Rambam repeats and alludes to the explanation. The kibush of Yehoshua was temporary because it was only kibush, the Kesef Mishnah might say, as opposed to being the combination of kibush and chazaka. We might say, you know, because of the, you know, special nature of chazaka, that it's not subject to, you know, korban, or even more so, like I was saying, because it's the Mesiris Nefesh of Klal Yisrael in combination with the rest. But either way, Kivin Sha'olah B'nei Agola V'Hichziku B'Miktsas Ha'ares. Beautiful language in the Rambam. Every word is in place, right? Hichziku, not Kivshu, like he said. And B'Miktsas Ha'ares, geographically less. Kivshu K'disha Shnia Ha'omedes Le'olam L'Shaita U'Le'asid Lava. Why did the Ram bring this policy decision so up front here? It's true, it's factual, it's our Gemara Chulin and a bunch of other Gemaras, but you know, aren't there other places to put that? But if we're right, and that is that it's an internal factor too, right? Then the fact that the Rambam puts it here after explaining what is singular about Chazaka, you know, in addition to the Miktsas, is actually very perfect. But then he goes, then he says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, referring to our Gemara in Chulin, right? We have to, you know, this has to be a Yom HaTzmut and a Chulin shir at the same time. Rabbeinu HaKadosh hitir beis shan me'osan mekomos shaloch ziko ben mole bavel. Right? Upatrum and amaisros, etc. Okay, he sums it up for you in Allah above. Nimtza kola olam kula le'inin mitzvah satulias barat nechlak legimel machlakos. Eretz Yisrael, Surya chutzlaretz. Eretz Yisrael nechlaku l'shnayim. There are two parts of Eretz Yisrael. Kol shechziku olim bav v'chelek achad. V'anisha shechziku olim mitzrayim bilvad chelek sheni. And that he has the Arotos Hasmuchos, etc. Then in Halacha Zayin, he tells you which lands were part of the Kibush of Mitzrayim and which ones were Nischazek Al Yidei. And then Mehechan Hichziku Ole Bavel, again, being very careful, not about Kibush, but about Chazaka and Halacha Kes, etc. And then Surya, great, terrific, etc. You walk away from Hilchos Trumos. You're super impressed with the consistency of language, the subtlety that the Rambam uses in order to... Oh, by the way, is somebody taping this? Or it is recording, okay. If not, Yitzi has the backup, right? You're impressed with the consistency, with the subtle use of language, etc. And what impression do you walk away with? The Kedusha Sa'aretz, Shmita, Trumos, Maisras, Bikurim, etc.? All Doraisa b'zman hazeh. Until you reach the very, very end, the last halacha of Perek Aleph. The very last halacha of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Trumos, the Rambam drops a bombshell. Right? I've mentioned this in the past as a great example of how, you know, the Rambam conveys, you know, lumdus and principles, in my opinion, through organization. Because again, if you know, Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos has 26 halachos. But if you stop after halacha hey, or if you just read Hilchos Beis HaBechira, or if you read both because you're a conscientious Rambam reader, right, you're going to think Trumos Maisros is Doraisa. You have to reach halacha chavav, which says, Hatruma bizman hazeh, afilu b'makom sheziku ole bavel, afilu b'me'ezra. Again, Hichziku, Eina mina Torah ela medivreim, it's Rabbanan. She'en cha truma shel Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael, u'bizman shu kol Yisrael sham, she'nemar kisavo. Bias kulchem kishahoye berusha rishona, u'kmo she'en asidim lachso berusha shlishis. Lo kishahoye berusha shnia, she'hoysa b'mei Ezra, she'hoysa bias miktsasan, u'lefikach lo chiva osan mina Torah. B'chein yirali, so Rambam acknowledging he's not sure, but this is his conviction. Shehu adin b'maestros, she'en chayavim b'zman hazeh l'midivreim k'truma. A very controversial Ravid, Rambam, and a very fascinating one. So let me just take a couple of minutes. The Ravid jumps in. The Ravid disagrees. Omar Abram, lo kivin lahalacha yafa, lo kaimel and krab yochan and the Omar bivamos trumas bizmanas adoraisa, u atzmo nira shekach kosav bitzkilasa sefer. The isa lahamilsa, bechalahu de isa. Maybe chala bizmanas ez drabanan because of lack of bias kolcha. Hak trumos, right? What the Gemara, what the Ravid is referring to is a Gemara in Ksuvis, and Daf Chaf Hayomid Aleph, where the Gemara says that there can be a man d'amar who holds that Chala Bizman Azeh is Drabanan, even if Trumos is Daraisa, because Chala, it says, B'vachem al Aretz, so you need Bias Kolchem, and in the time of Ezra, there wasn't Bias Kolchem. The Rambam apparently took that Gemara and thought that the principle of the Gemara is correct, but that the distinction between Chala and Truma is only a day in the Gemara, but that the view that connects Chala and Truma doesn't think that even Chala doesn't depend on Bias Kolchem, but thinks that Chala and also even Truma depends on Bias Kolchem. And that's why the Rambam concludes that Trumos, probably Maestros, Bismanazez Drabana. Okay? He's not sure about the Maestros. That already tells you something. Oh. The question is, like, why does the Rambam wait? And what is this? What is the sin of Bias Kolchem? Reb Chaim was of the opinion, different from the Beis Halevi in this regard. Let me say this. This part, not necessarily different than the Beis Halevi. I'll get to the different part in a minute. But Reb Chaim was of the opinion, he says this in Hilchos Trumos and in Hilchos Shemitah in the Chibur, that the Rambam felt that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Drabanan because of lack of Bias Kolchem. Because the Torah says in the beginning of Parshas, you know, when it talks about Shvius and Bahar, it says Kisavau or Bivoachem. So even though there's no explicit drasha in the Gemara, he thinks that the Rambam understands that Shemitah requires Bias Kolchem. Let me skip the Beis Halevi, which is independently fascinating, but not for this point. Reb Chaim goes a giant step further. Reb Chaim was bothered by the following question. On the one hand, the Gemara says in Ksuvis, right, this din of Bias Kolchem. Okay? But what's also fascinating is that the Gemara is Tola, the din of Bias Kolchem, which renders Kedushas Haaretz Rabbanon, it seems to be Tola it on the historical Chazakah, the circumstances of Chazakah at the time of Ezra. The Gemara says, in the time of Ezra, there wasn't Bias Kolchem, and therefore, Bizman Hazeh, Chala, the Gemara says it about Chala, the Rambam extended it to Trumos. Reb Chaim thinks that the Rambam extended it also to Shemitah. Is only Drabana. So Reb Chaim asks the following simple question. Earlier Achronim asked this question. We'll see in a moment the Ritva was troubled by it. The Gemara says that Chala, and by extension the Rambam thinks that Truma Bizman is Ezra Banan, because in the time of Ezra there was only Bias Miktsas and not Bias Kolchem. Why does it depend on the initiation of the Kedusha? The way Reb Chaim puts it, we have a parallel din regarding Yovel. It's called Kol Yoshveha Aleha, which means that you need Ruba Kekulo of Klal Yisrael to be an Eretz Yisrael for the dinum of Yovel to apply. If you don't, it's not Kol Yoshveha Aleha, or Rov Yoshveha Aleha, then the dinum of Yovel don't apply. But it's perfectly clear, the Gemara is in Erechin, etc., that that depends on the circumstances. When there will be Rov Klal Yisrael, then the dinam of Yovel will apply. This is a big tumul in Eretz Yisrael Bizmanenu, because Rov Tzibor, the Rov population of Klal Yisrael, if it isn't already, is getting close to being in Eretz Yisrael. So why is that when it comes to Yovel, says Reb Chaim, it depends on the particular Yovel, whereas when it comes to Bias Kolchem and Chala, it depends on the moment of Ezra. Maybe going forward, B'es Kolchem isn't a problem. So if you look at the Ritva and Ksuvis, ever so subtly, the Ritva says, yeah, in the time of Ezra, there wasn't B'es Kolchem. And now there's not B'es Kolchem, implying that in Ochanami, Reb Chaim didn't know this Ritva, that in Ochanami, it depends on the year. It depends on the circumstances. But Reb Chaim tried to explain this phenomenon. So he explained the following. When it comes to Yovel and the din of Kol Yoshvei Aleha, that's a din in Kiyum Ayovlos. That's a precondition to applying the dinim of Yovel. But when it comes to Bias Kolchem, says Reb Chaim, that's a tnai in the Kedushas Haaretz itself. It's not an additional or extraneous prerequisite for the dinim. It goes to the heart and core of the Kedusha itself. And therefore, while Yovel, it depends on the particular year, when it comes to Shemitah, according to Reb Chaim, and Truma, according to the explicit Rambam, and Yerali Meiser, and Challah, it depends on what happened at the moment when Ezra began the Kedusha Shnia. Was it B'es Kolchem or not? This is Reb Chaim's view against the Beis Halevi. This part, I can't discuss it. Beis Halevi's Shita, not this part, but the other part, is also very helpful to our bigger idea, which I'll explain in a second. Probably not the Beis Halevi part. But this is Reb Chaim's idea that B'es Kolchem is a shiur in Kedushas Karka, in the Kedushas Haaretz itself. That's why he thinks it applies to Shemitah. According to Reb Chaim, it may apply, not clear. The Minchas Chinuch says, even according to the Rambam, we only apply B'es Kolchem, you know, where we have it. Challah, according to the Rambam, Truma, maybe Maestros. Minchas Chinuch didn't think it applied to Shemitah. He thinks it's unlikely it applies to Peah, to Bikurim. Reb Chaim doesn't weigh in on the Peah and Bikurim part, but he definitely expands to Shemitah. Okay. So let me ask you the following question. And with this, we're going to end, and then we get to Azriel again, to the proper ending. And that is the following. Let me go back to my Ha'ara about placement, which the Reb Chaim does not speak about. In Beis HaBechira and in Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, in the beginning, the Rambam makes it perfectly clear that Kedusha Shnia Kitchel L'Shaita V'Kitchel L'Yosid Lavo. So if Reb Chaim is right, right? On the last halacha of Hilchos Truma, he lets this bomb explode. Oh, by the way, everything I said is not true. It's not true befoal. Okay, that doesn't trouble me. I'll explain in a second. But according to Reb Chaim's understanding of B'es Kolchem, it's also not true in the Lamdas. Not conceptually true. Because there's a lack of B'es Kolchem. If the Beis Halevi was of the opinion, probably the Minchas Chinuch, B'es Kolchem is a requirement for Shemitah, you know, maybe, for Trumos, for Challah, but it has nothing to do with Kedushas HaKarka. So then I could explain, that they didn't explain this, this is my problem, my explanation. You know why the Rambam delays until the end of Halacha Chavav to drop the bomb? You know why he gives the impression that Kedushas HaAretz and Kedushas Shnia is Kayam? The answer is because it really is. There's a chalos of Kedushas HaAretz, even if it doesn't affect Befoal. You know why? Because of what I said before, and that is, it's important that there be Kedushas, this significance to Kedushas Karka and Mitzvah Satlios Ba'aretz, in theory, even if not in practice. That says something about the nature of life in Eretz Yisrael. When the Gemara says in Ksuvas, Daf Kuf Yud, that a gar behador behutzarts kamisha ain lo aloka. So Tosas quotes Reb Chaim Kohn and says, yeah, but it doesn't apply to Zmanenu so much because there's no mitzvah satlis baritz. And mitzvah satlis baritz, when they're possible, dictate kamisha ain lo aloka. Whatever that means, I think I know what it means, but not for now. But meaning, in the ability to observe mitzvah satlis baritz, and separate from that, the concept of Kedushas Karka, even if it doesn't, Lemaisa, translate into Kedushas Haaretz, still establishes Eretz Yisrael singular and unique place. So the Rambam, according to the Beis Halevi and the Cheschinuch, let's say, was trying to say there is Kedushas Karka, if not before all the ability to implement these mitzvahs. But according to Reb Chaim, it's even a bigger problem because he thinks that even the Kedushas Karka is compromised. But I think the answer is very simple. And that is, Reb Chaim doesn't mean that there's no Kedushas Karka. He means that the Chisaron isn't just in Befoal, the dinim of Shemitah and Truma and Maestros. It also affects the Kedushas Karka itself. So the Rama has his cake and eat it too. There is Kedushas Karka, but it's incomplete because of the lack of Bias Kochen, and that incompleteness doesn't completely negate Hilchos Beis Abchira in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, but you should know that it requires the initiation period of the Kedusha. But now if we take a step back and we think about it, why is Bias Kolchem, and why is Rambam expanding Bias Kolchem? Why is it so impactful? But I think the answer is simple based on what we said. The whole idea of Kedusha Shnia, right, is the idea of Klal Yisrael's Mesiras Nefesh, their identification, their total involvement with life in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe that's why internally, right, They left some karka dafka as an internal measure for aniyim bishviyas. But for that very reason, the absence of bias kulchem of the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael left its mark not only on challah and not only on implementing, right, other mitzvot atluyos, shviyas, maestros, etc., but it even cut into the Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Ein Adoma, the Mesiras Nefesh of Chazaka, wedded to Kibush or separate from Kibush, when there's Bias Kulchem and when there's only Bias Miktas. So the Rambam formulates it perfectly by putting it in the end of Perek Aleph, but by expanding it to Trumos and maybe even to Maestros and perhaps even to Shemitah. But what then emerges is, now again, is the point that you know, the kibush of Yahushua was kulchem or rubchem, or maybe that didn't even need it. I don't know. But certainly the uniqueness of Kedusha Yidei Chazaka, we feel the absence of the kulchem of Bias Kulchem. And therefore that affects, cuts into, but of course it still doesn't negate fully the Chazaka and the Kedusha Sa'aretz. And then you have to figure out which dinim depend on there being some Kedusha Sa'aretz, which dinim require a full measure of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Of course, the Musar Haskel to take away from this is that there is a partnership between the Rabbona Shel Olam, Ki Li Ha'aretz Li Kedusha Sa'aretz, and Klal Yisrael, Bias Kolchem, and the impact of Chazaka. There's Kibush, there's Chazaka, and there's Bias Kolchem. And part of what is so incredible and why it really does engender Shavach V'Hodah when we celebrate the history of Kuma Medina, of you know, the resurfacing of Medinas Yisrael, is precisely because, again, it was done through Chazaka. And it really transformed, it had to transform Jewish life everywhere. This is the national headquarters of the Jewish people. That's why Bias Kolchem is necessary. And it's also why, when there's Chazaka, even absent of Bias Kolchem, there remains a Kedusha Shnia, which is Eina Betela. You have the aspiration, and you also have the appreciation of what there is. And the way that life has unfolded, and all of us, you know, in this Zoom picture, you know, we're born into Medinas Yisrael. But there are plenty of people, I still want to hear my father and my father-in-law, you know, Rebbeim that I had, speak about, you know, the moment, you know, of the proclamation of the state, you know, and the difference, you know, in Jewish self-image and other things. We see it all the time. That's why, you know, the role of Israel support is so important, not just pragmatically, identification, etc. There's a great understanding that what has happened in the last, what is it, you know, 72 years since Medinas Yisrael has been part of our lives has been transformative. And that the continued attraction, you know, practically to the point of certainly Kol Yoshvei Rov Yoshvei La, even if it's not, you know, at least according to Reb Chaim, still Bias Kolchem. But this combination of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and the Hashgacha of the Rabbanu Shel Olam has and continues, right, to redefine, you know, what Jewish life is, you know, in our time. Not only, you know, those who study in Eretz Yisrael, but the, you know, the total effect, you know, that Medinas Yisrael and life in Eretz Yisrael being so much an integrated part of every one of us in a transformative way. So as we turn to Azriel for a Shir V'Shevach, you know, to conclude, wish everybody a Yom Ha'atzmaut Sameach. And it really is, you know, consistent, you know, with the idea of Kibush, Chazaka, Bias Kolchem, and also Hinichu Aratzos Kadesh Yismchu Aniyim B'Shvias. There's the Kedushas Karka and the Mitzvah Satluyos. But even more than that, there is the more acute, the more manifest presence, you know, of an aspirational and a maximalist Jewish life and a life of the tzibor, you know, that is part of that as well. And we're very appreciative of that, even as we're hunkered down and communicating through Zoom. It's really a very palpable reality. Okay, we turn it over to Azriel to finish things off for us.